You're in tune to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, as well as 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. I'm Cameron Heron, and it's just past 10:40 here on this Monday, July 17th, which means it's time for Valley Talk, and I've got a very special guest on Valley Talk today. I've got Karma Hansen, coordinator of Safe Kids in Grand Forks. Karma, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us, Cam. I appreciate it.
Yep, and we just had you on a couple weeks ago to talk about 4th of July safety and fireworks safety, boating safety, and all that good stuff, and we'll have a new topic for today. But before we get into that, why don't you let the listeners know about kind of what Safe Kids in Grand Forks is kind of all about?
Yeah, thank you for that. So Safe Kids Grand Forks is an injury prevention coalition. We are based, our lead agency is All True Health System, but that being said, we cover Northeast North Dakota and Northwest Minnesota, and we say that our work is to keep kids safe at home, at school, at play, and on the way. And we certainly have great partnerships in the Crookston community with their schools, with the public health department, with the All True Clinic, the police, and the fire, and certainly we put KROX into that list of partners there that really care about the kids of the Crookston and surrounding community. And, you know, I will tell you, being a parent is a hard job. I've always said it's the most important job I ever had, and it came with the least amount of orientation. And, you know, so our purpose with Safe Kids is to, you know, meet those parents or caregivers. We're seeing a lot more grandparents that are caring for children, you know, whether that be, you know, a couple hours a day or on a permanent basis or whatever. A lot has changed maybe since they raised their kids. And, you know, we're here to just kind of meet them where they're at, knowing that there are lots of questions out there, but there are also a lot of places where you can get information. And sometimes it's very, very credible. Sometimes not so much. You know, bloggers will put their information out there and share their opinion, and it may or may not be real accurate. And so we're here to be a reliable, trustworthy source of information for those people that are doing that important job of caring for kids. And our focus is primarily those under age 19.
Yeah, and when we talked last time, right before 4th of July, like, there were even stuff that I didn't even really know, like just lots of little tidbits that I don't think people maybe realize about ways to keep their kids safe. So obviously a very good thing that you're doing there at Safe Kids.
Well, thank you. We try to be accessible to the public. You know, we do radio interviews. And again, we thank KROX. You guys are just fabulous partners in helping us to get the word out. We have a very vigorous and active Facebook page. We'd encourage your listeners to go on and like our page, Safe Kids Grand Forks. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. We put out a quarterly newsletter, and that is one thing I would encourage your listeners to think about signing up for. Also, we have on our webpage, which is safekidsgf.com, along the right-hand side, there is a spot where you can go on and sign up for our newsletter that comes out. We don't use it for, you know, anything other than sending out those quarterly newsletters, summer, winter, spring, and fall. We did do a special edition 4th of July one. We usually do a special edition right before Halloween. But those newsletters are another great source of information and ways in which we can get information out. We do community events. We come into the schools. We'll be working with the Crookston community. In the coming months, we were able to secure a grant through Minnesota Safe Routes to School, in which we are going to be looking at some stuff at your elementary school there in Crookston and ways to maybe make the routes to and from that school a little bit safer for the kids and things like that. So we're just in a lot of places and doing a lot of things and trying to connect on a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and so for today, we have for the topic that we're going to talk about today, you know, we're getting really deep into the summer season, and it actually hasn't been too hot. It's actually been kind of a cooler summer so far, but at any time, you know, a heat wave can come coming in. And you came on today to talk about heat stroke prevention.
Yeah, this is a topic, Cam, that, you know, if I were to say to you, you know, what are the things you need to think about for keeping kids safe during the summer? A lot of people would say things like, oh, you need to put them in a bike helmet, or you need to wear a life jacket, or, you know, things like that. Make sure when they're crossing the street, they know how to, you know, look both ways and stuff like that. And those are all things that I think the public is very, very, very aware of. That being said, there is a topic that I think is probably less known to parents and caregivers. Or the other thing I would say is when we talk about heat stroke and children dying in hot cars, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm a good parent. I would never forget my kid in a car. And the reality of it is that if you in your mind believe that you are one of those that could never do that, those are the people that I'm probably most afraid of. Because I think we all need to think, oh my gosh, this could happen to me, and take the steps, precautionary steps that need to be in place in order to prevent them from happening. Every year, on average, about 38 children die after they have either gained access to a car or they have been intentionally left in the car, which isn't as often, but it does happen, or the majority of the time it's parents or caregivers that forget those kids in a car. And 38 kids every year on average die. And this year so far, we've already had 12 deaths in the country. And so this is a topic that we try to get out to the public to make them aware that this can happen. What are some steps to do to prevent them, this from happening? And then, as you said, it's maybe not even that warm of a day, but help them to understand the dynamics of how these deaths occur. So, for example, the temperature inside a vehicle in about the first 20 minutes that this left shut off will go up about 19 degrees. So let's say it's 70 degrees, you could already be at nearly 90 degrees within 20 minutes. That's a quick trip into, the post office or a grocery store or something like that. Temperatures like that can be devastating for young children and pets. And so even on a mild day, we need to be really careful. Usually that temperature inside that vehicle will top off around 2 hours or so, somewhere between 40 to 50 degrees hotter than the outside environment. But again, on a 70 degree day, that puts that temperature up to about 120 degrees. On a 90 degree day, you're talking 140, 150 degrees in that car. And little children do not have, their bodies don't have the ability to regulate themselves in the same way that an adult does. And so they overheat about 3 to 5 times faster, putting them at a huge, huge risk of dying of heat stroke if left or forgotten, or somehow gaining access to that car and getting trapped inside.
Yeah, and I mean, I think most people, most adults, they know about what it's like to get into their vehicle when it's 95 degrees out and you just, it's just all muggy in there, and you have to roll down the windows, or you feel like you can't breathe, and you might misthink that that happens over the span of like an hour or two, but no, like you said, it can happen in the span of 20 minutes, like you said.
Yeah, it sure can. And, like I said, we as adults, if we get into our car and air conditioning's not working, it's tough, right? It's hard on the body. Or if I were to tell you to go out to your car and shut the, air conditioning off, shut your engine off and see how long you could tolerate it inside that vehicle, it's not very long. And that being said, kids' bodies don't have the same ability to regulate their temperature. And if you also think about, sometimes those kids are strapped in the car seat, maybe they can't get out of that. We have had children, as we track these deaths over the years, we have had children as old as 11 who died, that some of them had developmental disabilities, where they got into a car and, on the car door there is a child lock that you can engage kind of in the well of the side of the door, so that kids cannot open the car door while the car is in motion. It has to be opened from the outside, and you'll have children who will get into that vehicle. They can't get out that door because the child lock's being engaged, and yet they don't think to maybe check the other doors in the vehicle. We have had 4- and 5-year-old kids. We had some kids several years ago, I believe it was in Kentucky, I might be wrong on the state, but a set of twins that were at their grandparents' place that were playing hide and seek. They got into a trunk of a car and perished in there when they weren't able to get out. And so the dynamics of how these occur are such that really everybody needs to be aware of it. Even if you don't have kids, When you get out of your car, you want to make sure that you're locking that car and putting the keys up and out of sight and out of reach. Even if it's in your garage, lock that car so that kids can't gain access and get into it where they could potentially become trapped inside of that vehicle.
Does the lack of fresh air also kind of play an effect into that?
You know, it does more so, you know, you talk about, you know, people will sometimes go to a grocery store or something and they'll leave their pet in the car and they'll roll the window down or crank it down a little bit, trying to let some fresh air in there. And the reality of it is that that does very little to change the inside temperature at all. It's more dependent on the interior color of that vehicle. So the really dark colors, a blacks or something like that, are going to get hotter quicker. But really cracking that window does very little to change that, that inside temperature. I'm looking at the data already from 2023, and I think I said there were 12. There must have been another one that was added over the weekend because we're at 13 now. Wow. These have taken place in Alabama, Florida, New York, Virginia, Florida, Washington, Texas, Mississippi, Idaho, Texas. And the kids range in age from 11 months up to, 6 years old. And some of them, again, as I look at what are the circumstances, they were unknowingly left. They were knowingly left in the car. They got in on their own, You know, here's a six-year-old that got in on their own into that vehicle. And so it might not be that you have kids in your home, but if you live in a place where there are kids in the neighborhood and your car is on the street or on your driveway or in a parking lot or a parking ramp or in an apartment complex or something like that. Again, having everybody have those car doors locked is really critical. The other thing I would say is that if you are somebody that happens to be walking by a car and you notice a child or a pet in there and there is not a parent or an attendee or somebody that vehicle belongs to that you can readily identify, we would encourage you to call 911. It's not about getting anybody into trouble. It's about potentially saving a life. And, you know, little kids can go from being fine, you know, breathing fine, temperature fine, to all of a sudden being in a really, 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 really critical situation where their core temperature heats up to the point where it causes them to stop breathing and their heart to stop beating and things like that. And so if you call 911, you're going to get, you know, your ambulance and your fire and your police and your first responders there. Those are folks that know how to break and enter into a vehicle without, you know, injuring somebody inside. They also know how to render first aid to the person inside. So again, it's not about getting anybody into trouble. It is really about saying, you know what, we need to make sure that that child inside that vehicle is not in a situation that could put them in a dire situation really quickly. And so calling that 911, you're never wrong to do that. Like I said, advocate for those kids who maybe can't advocate for themselves or make decisions for themselves and maybe be that hero that might just save that child.
And you mentioned, that, like, you want to call 911, like, yeah, you don't want to, like, break the window and possibly injure the child as well.
Yeah, and, you know, if you saw a child that, you know, looked to have no breathing whatsoever or was already starting to, you know, as you're not breathing, you start to become a dusky color, if that were the case, I would absolutely advocate for it. You know, okay. A bit of glass on a child is a lot better than that. But if you can see that the child, the color is good, that they are having respirations and breathing, you know, give yourself time, you know, call that 911 and emergency personnel usually can respond within, you know, 2 to 3 to 5 minutes at the very most. You know, that being said, if you do have to break a window, you know, go break a window in the back, you know, or on the opposite side or maybe in the front, you know, where it's on a direct line of where that child might be sitting in that vehicle. You know, you know, one of those things where I'm a nurse by background and, you know, little babies and little children respond very differently than adults do. And so what an adult body can tolerate is very different than what a little person can. And so, you know, like I said, many times these situations occur very innocently. You know, I think of new mothers who are exhausted. They're up all night feeding. You know, oftentimes these will occur when there's been a change in routine. So maybe mom normally drops the kids off at daycare, but this day dad was supposed to do that and didn't. Or they're going to their daycare, but there's road construction, so they take a different path. And as they get on that path, their mind starts thinking about what else they need to do that day. And that road takes them closer to work than it does to their childcare center. And then the next thing you know, the child doesn't get dropped off. And so as we think about ways to prevent these deaths from occurring, we will typically talk about the acronym ACT. Mm-hmm. And ACT stands for, the first thing is take action to make sure that these types of incidents don't happen by never leaving kids alone in a vehicle. Think about, like I said, what we talked about as far as locking up keys, putting them out of sight, out of reach, that kind of thing. And then doing something to help you remember that there is a child in the back. Kids do need to ride in the back seat until they are at least 13. So we need them back there. But, you know, oftentimes you put a kid in a car seat and they fall asleep right away. And so, you know, making sure that you've got a sticker on your window. We've got those at our office. Put your briefcase or your purse in the back seat. Create reminders. Make it something that's the C of ACT. Have your child care center call if the child's not dropped off. Talk with your significant other and say, I dropped them off at child care today, so they know. And then again, the T is that take action. If you see that, like we said, call 911 to make sure that you might have the potential of rescuing that child.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of great information, Karma. We're actually almost out of time. So is there anything else, like materials or places to visit to learn more about this stuff?
Yes, you can visit our website, which is safekidsgf.com. You can also go to our website. We've got a lot of good information. I mean, our Facebook page, we've got a lot of information out about heat stroke happening right now. And then the other thing I'll just mention, Cam, is we do have a car seat checkup event coming up in Crookston next week on the 27th. That is from 4 to 5:30 and at the dealership there. So if you have people that are interested, please have them stop by Brough Chevrolet. They can also reach out to us for more information about those events, and we will certainly have information on heat stroke awareness at that event as well. And at any time, people can call our office at All True in East Grand Forks at 701-780-1489.
Yeah, and I think this talk is more important now than ever, because since it has been kind of a cooler summer, people might have forgotten about this stuff. And even like you mentioned the states in which those deaths occurred, like you're talking Idaho, Washington, like states that are up north that you don't think get as hot as like Arizona or Texas, but that's still a threat.
It is. And we have had these incidents. There was one a couple of years ago in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it was unfortunately a dad who went to work at a fair in a food truck and didn't have childcare for his son, made the decision to leave him in the car, thought he'd be fine, and it was a really poor decision that ended really poorly. So thank you for the time today. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for coming on, Karma, and hopefully we'll talk again about another topic that'll be relevant soon.
Thank you so much, Cam.
Okay, yep, appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
So that was your Valley Talk program here on this Monday, July 17th.